Along these lines, you know, what's happening to America, what's happening to families, and what's happening to worship. And you know what the conclusion I come to is? That there's been a letdown among Baptists. You know, God never has depended on the world to do His work for Him. We say we believe that we're the true church. We believe that this is the church that Jesus built. Then this is our responsibility. It's not anybody else's. It's not our government's responsibility to preach the gospel and stand for the truth. It's us. So this is where it's at, and we've got to take it up. If any man will come after me, he must deny himself, take up the cross, and follow him. So whatever that involves or entails, we have to be ready to do it. So what to preach in the 90s, or what to preach at the turn of the year 2000, with all of our modern technology and all this other things that are involved around about us, when man has become so educated that the gospel is just a dismal something that used to be, but it's real. The only thing that is real. Amen. And so, what to preach in the 90s? You want to preach that which is worth living by and living for with a destination in mind. Jesus, when he came down here, he says, for the joy that was set before him, the scripture says, he endured death, even the death of the cross. Is there any joy set before us? I've been preaching to our people enthusiasm. I think we ought to be enthusiastic. We'll be happy. Amen. Love the Lord, and the Lord died for us, and we have life that nobody else knows anything about, and the peace and the joy. If anybody ought to be happy, it ought to be us. Amen. Feel sorry for the rest of the world instead of envying what they've got and what they're doing. We've got it. Amen. God gave it to us, but we've got it. And so as we think of these things, what to preach. Fantastic. But we want something that's going to endure. We're talking about our life. We're talking about your life. If you're here and lost, we're talking about your life. Where will you spend eternity? Where? And the life that you now live from here to eternity. Do we want the blessings of God, the power of God, the love of God, the joy and peace and all those other things? Only comes one place. You don't get it at the garbage dump of the world. And it's up to us. It's up to us. We need it. We dreadfully need revival of Baptist preaching. Brother Clyde. Weak-kneed, yellow-bellied, no spine, something or others. Really, we must. It's imperative. It's not a choice. It's not go around like this modern stuff is, you know, and they survey the neighborhood and they see what the people want, and then they prepare to give it to them so they can draw a crowd. But what have they got? They've got a crowd with no power. And no love and no joy. And most of all, no salvation. No home in heaven. No God to intercede. So as we think of these things, we're going to try to continue to preach those things that will endure. Have to endure. You don't go part way and quit. It to endure to the end. And there's no retirement in this business. Really, I don't believe there is. But it'll get you there. What I'm going to tell you about a few things tonight, it'll get you there. It'll keep you till you get there. And it'll make you happy on the way. Amen. And so, I want to read a very old, familiar scripture. See, we're not talking about taking a walk in the park or around the block. We're talking about your life and mine from here to eternity with the Lord. And what will make it worthwhile? What will save folks' souls and keep them and satisfy them? And so as we look at this, and you probably know where I've turned to, but if you don't, turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. Judah was in a backslidden condition, about like America is today in most churches. Multitudes of people in this world that say they're saved are following God afar off. He gives us the remedy here. Verse 13, it says, From the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Isn't that a terrible account of a people? We're living there. It's sad to say, this great country we love, America, we're living there in that same condition. Verse 15, it said, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? You don't see our president that calls himself a Baptist ashamed to stand before the people say anything. And I'm not going to get down on him, but listen, there's reality. You can't say you're anything if you don't live it, if you don't believe it enough to do it. That's what counts. And so it says, were they ashamed? No, they weren't ashamed. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. You know, you don't see anybody blush today. The men and women, and the women on television, are just as bad as the men. And they're in a fit thing on it to watch. And our society is the same way. And so, said they couldn't blush, therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At that time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Now there's coming a time, and we'll get to that in a minute maybe, but the Lord's going to visit. He's coming. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Yes. Amen. Wouldn't it be great if we do it now? See, do it now. Yes. Can you do it now, today? Still time today if you can do it. I remember, this is the 17th conference. 18th conference, okay. The first conference was the conference I surrendered to preach. And so this is the beginning of my 18th year of preaching the gospel. That's easy to keep track of that way, isn't it? But anyway, that first night when I surrendered to preach, Brother Hilly preached, and I think we counted 51 folks come down here. You know, we could have that tonight. We sing these songs, nothing between my soul and my Savior. Just lay it all aside. Say, here, Lord, I give myself away. He don't want our money. He wants you and me. To say, here I am. And you'll never find anything in this book any different than that. Old Paul or Saul on the road to Damascus, he said, what will you have me do, Lord? Oh, Isaiah over there, he says, here I am, Lord. Humility, humble, and submit. And that's why we don't have any power. Because we're living in an age when people will not submit themselves to the will of God.
That's right, brother. Amen.
And you can't get by Satan any other way. He said, beware of your adversary, the devil. See, God says, I can handle that old fella. God can. It's you and me that can't handle him. He says, submit yourself to God. And then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But you can't do nothing with him if you don't submit to God. And I want to tell you one thing too. He ain't, like somebody said today, he's not this fella that some of these jerky churches have hiding around, you know, in the baptistry and everything, you know, with a red suit on. And they chase him out of the building with this broom. That's two devils. The one going and the one running after him. You know, I've heard of that happening. We had some dreadful experiences with that over the past. I mean, real experiences. It's sad. Isn't that sad? People that have got no more sense. Preachers that have got no more sense than to do something like that in a preaching service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, anyway. He says, thus saith the Lord. Still says the same thing. Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. What are we going to preach in the 90s? The same thing that God sent his apostles to preach.
Amen.
It hasn't changed.
Right.
And it's the only thing that I can find in this book where God says he'll honor. So therefore, there's no choice. Same choices that I mentioned before. You know, Joshua said, choose you this day who you serve. You'll either serve God or you'll separate yourself from God and from the power of God and everything else. As my brother mentioned, I think a while ago, he says, when you're in that condition, you can't pray. You're miserable. You can't serve God one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. I mean, one foot in the church or even think you can begin to do that. God wants all or nothing. He won't settle for half. He says, you're either with me or you're against me. You're either gathering or you're scattering. Which place you want to be. But there's really no choice if you want to be with God. You want to be in God's will. And so, the old path wherein is the good way, and you shall find rest for your souls. They say the same thing. It hasn't changed. The answer hasn't changed. They said, we will not walk therein. They've been saying that all along, you know. But anyway, we want you to see a few things tonight. And Lord willing, we'll finish on time. But Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. I believe when God makes statements like that, that's it. There's no alternatives. There's no adding to or part way or anything else. It's either God's way or no way. I probably said this last year at this conference, but we're either going to serve God, his way, but we're not going to serve God. And so if you're not going to serve God, you might as well quit going through the motions. There's no profit in playing godliness or playing church. No profit whatsoever. And so the power of God unto salvation, in 1 Corinthians 15, it tells about the gospel. That's where it's at. The Word of God, the book of Jude says that you earnestly contend for the faith once delivered. We need to not to sit down and worry and wonder and say, I wonder if we can't dream up something new for this intellectual bunch we got to preach to today. Well, it won't happen. It's already settled. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His gospel's the same. His method's the same. He's not going to change. And I preach this all the time. I'm so glad I don't have to preach something I dream up all the time. I just preach the Word. And I can without hesitation or anything else, recommend the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll satisfy.
Amen.
He'll save. He'll take you all the way.
Amen.
And you'll never be sorry.
That's right.
Preached not too long ago. I've never heard of anybody on their deathbed saying, "Well, time to die. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ." Did you ever hear anybody say that? I never have. Gospel for today. I call this, and I've preached portions of this before, but I put about 10 different sermons together here with a few thoughts. But the old time religion. The old time religion. Good enough for me. That song says, you know, it was good for our fathers. Good for our mothers is good enough for me. But that's not why. The why is because it's good enough for God. It's what God wants. It's what God will accept. In fact, it's what God demands. God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Sovereignty of God, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul put it, he said, "I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You know, I took some college courses for about 6 years. Not that I was a slow learner, I just wasn't full time. But anyway, I studied theology and eschatology and all those other ologies, you know, and Greek, and took a year and a half of Greek, and I finally determined that I'd have to live a whole lot longer than I expect to live for it to do me any good. And I wouldn't be able to have the original Greek anyway, and so I decided that I'd just take the good old black book and trust God. And so that's where we're at. But you know, the Bible is simply God's word about Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And He went to Calvary's cross, and He laid down His life and shed that precious blood that we might have life. And then Christian doctrine is simply systemized truths about Christ. Christian experience is being saved and Christ living within. Christian work and service is living out that which had been worked within us. Christ. And so, the deeper Christian life is more of Christ. More about Jesus, I would know. Not, you know, "Well, I'm saved and that's the end of it. You know, I don't have to worry about nothing." Well, yeah, I think you probably have a few things to worry about if that's how you feel, but there's a lot more to being, going to heaven and living a Christian life and everything than just being saved. I've heard Brother Clark preach. In fact, I've got this tape from about 20 years ago. It says, it takes a lot more to save a life than does a soul. It's a lot more preaching. That's why your pastors preach and preach and preach and preach so that the Word of God might do surgery upon us. It's quick and powerful. And we need spiritual surgery a whole lot of times. And so, most important thing about the coming or the second coming is Christ. Well, the main attraction to heaven is, the song says, "Look for me at Jesus' feet."
Amen.
But you know what? There's a whole lot of folks that say that and think it. But Jesus' feet today is right smack dab in the middle of His church where He's promised to meet with His people.
Amen.
And they're the same people. Say, "Oh boy, I can't wait to get to heaven," but they don't want anything to do with God's church and God's people and God's man. Isn't that something? But anyway, you can't separate those things. And so, that's what'll get folks saved. The only thing I know, to revive your own heart and that of others. That song says, we sang one portion, one form of this song this morning, but I like that one on page 237. It says, tell me the story of Jesus. See, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Write on my heart every word. Desire. Do you desire that? Do you want that? I want to know more. I like that last part where it says, stay. Let me weep while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. Christ. God so loved us. Gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now we're living in the time of denial. Denial. We're living in the day of scoffers. Yeah. We're living in a time when, you know, like it says over there in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, where's the coming of your God? Where is He at? Well, let me tell you. Matthew 1:21, you know, when the angel of the Lord appeared unto Mary, He said, fear not, Mary. That which is conceived in you is of the Holy Spirit of God, and thou shalt call His name Jesus. For He shall save His people from their sin. There's not a negative thought there. Now, I like to preach this kind of sermon because it's the positive kind of sermon. This is nothing negative about this. This is just positively the truth and what you positively are going to have to do if you're going to worship God and serve God in spirit and in truth. No alternative. And so, they say, where is the promise of His coming? Let me tell you, this has been read over and over today, and I rejoiced in it, but I'm going to read it again, John 14:1. Where's the promise of His coming? He said, let not your heart be troubled, and the main thing is, don't let people trouble you. Why do you do what you do? Because my Lord is coming again. He's real, brother Smith, I know He's real. So, if I can find John 14:1, but He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. For in My Father's house are many mansions. And He says, and I don't care how they interpret that. They can say abodes or rooms or whatever you want to. But Jesus is making one for me. Because He said He was. And He says, He's doing it that where He is, we may be also. And He says, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you might be. Yeah. And so I won't turn to that. But let me tell you, that's a promise. Amen. That's a promise of His coming. Amen. And it's real. Acts chapter 1, it's Jesus ascended up into heaven. He looked down and they said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus shall so come again in like manner. And then another one that's been read and talked about, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I do want to read just one verse over there. First Thessalonians chapter 4, for the Lord Himself, verse 16. Don't have time to read all of that, but listen. For the Lord Himself, we're talking about the rapture. Yeah. Yeah. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. Then we which are alive and remain. Wouldn't it be great if He'd come tomorrow morning or tonight? Yeah. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Then we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Isn't that fantastic? That is, that's fantastic. I never really thought too much about shouting, but I'll tell you what, that's real close. Shouting ground. Hallelujah. These phony guys on television, I'll tell you what, I can remember 45 years ago, 46, 7, Brother Hilly preaching about these jump-up Johnnies and backflip Kates, you know. He says, you put their brain in a sapsucker's head and fly backwards. And you know what? I saw a bunch of them on television the other day. Seriously. I found out that's who he was talking about. They don't a bit more know the God I know than the man in the moon. The devil is trying as hard as he can, and we're to beware of him. He says that's in the days of Noah. Now, I'm not going to read all of this because of time, but listen. 1 Timothy 4:1 tells us there's going to be some false prophets around. There are. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men going to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We're there. 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4, he says that they're going to depart from the faith. For the time will come, chapter 4 and verse 3 of 2 Timothy. And I've crossed that out. I'm not messing with the Word of God or anything like that. But I've just put a line across here and I put has. For the time has come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The biggest majority of people you preach to today will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want to have their ears scratched. They want to feel good. They don't want any responsibility. You take this same crowd that's on television that say they're all standing up there about half hypnotized, you know, waving their arms back and forth. Oh, I love Jesus. If you tell one of them about responsibility and what they'd have to do to satisfy God and be right with God and join His church and support it and say, here I am, Lord, they'd rebel just like that. They'd all of a sudden decide they didn't love Him so much. But service is in obedience to what He says. So that's in the days of Noah. He said that's the way it's going to be. I believe we're there too. The thoughts and intents of man's heart is only evil continually. Evil men and seducers, the New Testament says, shall wax worse and worse. And because of that, the love of many again, see, shall wax cold. Oh, we've got a tremendous responsibility as preachers of the Word of God and pastors of the Lord's churches to be enthusiastic, to keep ourselves on fire, know where we're going and where we've come from and who we're serving, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not doing cunningly devised myths. Isn't that great? It's just fantastic to me that I can just preach the Word and know that it's going to be successful, as successful as God wants it to be. Amen. And I'm supposed to be satisfied with it. Amen. I'd like to see 100 folks saved every month, but we're not going to, I don't believe, but He says preach the Word. See, that's the answer. The answer, the simplest answer that you'll ever... It isn't in a lot of these great big magic formulas or big productions, $250,000 a week to keep these jerks on television. It's in preaching the Word according to the will of God. Amen. Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Tell them the truth. The people have a right to know the truth. God expects you to tell them the truth. The whole counsel. Everything. How's a person going to be right with God if they don't know the whole truth? And there's a lot of stuff in there that we don't like to preach to them. But nevertheless, God says preach it. Preach it. Preach it. But you know He says more than that? He said pray. Oh, we need to return to the old past. Power of prayer. And practice it in our lives. He used to say there's nothing that hurts the church and Christianity any more than Christians. You know, unhappy Christians. Well, same way with preachers. We're unhappy and we're unenthusiastic and we don't seem to care. What's the people going to do? Ecclesiastes 7:29 says, I have found that God has made man upright, but they have sought many inventions. You know why? They want to be successful in the eyes of the world. They want to draw a crowd. They want to build cathedrals. They want to build hospitals. They want to build this, that, and this. But God doesn't tell us to do that. He said, preach the word.
Amen.
Be instant in season and out of season. Tell them they're lost. Tell them they must be born again. And tell them how to live. Tell them how to live. Preach the truth about baptism and the Lord's Supper and all these other things. Revival of Baptists. That's where it's at. So, but you know what? Titus 2:1 says, preach those things which become sound doctrine. It doesn't excite the crowd. That's why they leave it off. That doesn't excite the crowd and keep the $250,000 a week or a month or whatever coming in. See? But it ought to excite us. If you know the truth, it ought to excite you. It takes more than just waving your arm, you know. Hallelujah of the soul. These folks, they get them in emotional overdrive, you know, and get them going. And as Brother Smith said last night, you know, there's nothing wrong with feelings. And I think we ought to weep, and we ought to be compassionate, and we ought to be happy, and we ought to have joy and peace and all that. We ought to. God's promised it to us. I serve a great God.
Amen.
He's able. In fact, he's able to do a lot more than we think he is.
Amen.
Brother Clyde Priest, you know, we're well able to do whatever God wants us to do. We certainly are. And I preached that hard the last 4 or 5 months. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we ask or think.
Amen.
We're pikers, you know, really serious, we are. We settle for little old bitty blessings and think that's all there is. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. My Father is rich in houses and lands. He's able. Promises to give us everything. He said, I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Isn't that great? Whew. Many people somehow feel a need for a God that'll fit them, fit their idea, you know. Oh, I believe in Jesus, but God can't make me do anything. I ain't going to do that. They don't even know what the word God means. God is omnipotent.
Amen.
Omniscient.
Amen.
He's everywhere.
Amen.
And we can resist him. See, I can make him do. God just sent his son to die, but it's up to man to do whatever he's going to get done. I don't believe that. You don't believe that. I know. want a gospel for this modern age. Something they can relate to. They care not if it's absolutely blasphemously unscriptural. They don't care. As long as it makes them feel good. I don't even like that I don't like the idea. Somebody said, I've seen these pins, you know, get high with Jesus. No. Try God. What are you going to do? Try them and then throw them away? You know? You have to trust God and follow after Him in the way that He'd have us to go. And there's no turning back. But anyway, I hear this guy on TV talking about the power of Pentecost. He don't a bit more know what the power of Pentecost is than a cow could jump over the moon. I mean that seriously. He does not know. And I don't have time to go into that, but Jesus is the power of Pentecost.
Amen.
The church that He suffered and bled and died for is the place to put your light.
Amen.
Let your light so shine.
Yes.
People see your good works and glorify God. The gospel for today is the old time religion, the good way. Same as it was 2,000 years ago, because it's the same as God. Because it is God. It doesn't change. Same as Jesus preached. Same as John preached. Same as the apostles preached. Same as was pictured and foretold from creation. Blood atonement, substitutionary redemption. Oh, I love to read 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Seeing then as you're not redeemed with such thing as the blood of bulls and goats, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Love this old rascal. He didn't stop there though. He sent His Holy Spirit. He sent a preacher to preach the word. Then He convicted my heart of sin. Caused me to repent and gave me faith to believe. Isn't that fantastic? Whew. That's the old time religion, and it'll work. The only thing that will work. You can't pump people up. We're not playing baseball, basketball, football, or anything else. If the love of God doesn't move people, they're not going to be moved. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so, a lot of other things I'd like to say, but everything that you and I believe, and I'm gonna turn to the last page and I'm going to read one paragraph. The old time religion means book conformed to the image of Christ.
Amen.
Means the Word, means Jesus. The book says, this is the record. This is the standard. This is the instruction book.
Amen, brother.
You want to know how to do it? You want to know how to put it together? You want to know how to make it run? Look at the book.
Amen.
Do it right.
Amen.
There's only one way.
Amen.
There's no room and no time for mistakes.
That's right.
By which we live and believe and serve, and we'll be judged one day according to Christ. We're going to take a minute and ask you, can you trust Christ tonight? Have you trusted Christ tonight? You young folks, listen, you may think that we're just a bunch of scatterbrained preachers, but this is the truth. You must be born again.
Amen.
Absolutely. Can you trust Jesus tonight? If you're saved, you have an opportunity to choose whether you want to serve Him, or you want to just drift on down the river of this old world of being tossed to and fro, walking the light as He is light. You know, there are only two alternatives. If you're saved, His light, His word is either a light onto a path and a lamp onto our feet, or we're walking around and stumbling and bumping our heads in the dark.
Amen, brother.
According to His word.
That's right. Amen.
May God help us. And He will. That's a great part because He promised to.
Amen.
All He's done is said, preach it.
Yes.
Practice it and pray for it.
Yeah.
That we might have a revival of Baptists. You know, they're really the only one. We're the only ones that can be revived. The rest of religion, you know, they don't know what it's all about to start with. Revival of Baptists, revival of Baptist preachers and Baptist preaching, and you'll have a revival of Baptist churches. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.